Good morning, and a very warm welcome to one and all. The intimations, as usual, will have been up on the screen, and there'll be a leaflet at the back for anyone who wants to take them home. I have one additional intimation to read to you, and that is that the total raise from the church shop was £2,215.35. So thank you very much to Anne and her team for all their hard work, for donations, for items received, and for all the customers who supported the shop. So that's a really good effort. Our call to worship this morning is the classic one for Easter morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The first part of this morning's service will be conducted by Jigsaw, and the first hymn which they have chosen is 194, This is the Day. So once we've had the hymn, Jigsaw will take over.
Can we make with those letters? Easter. If we put the T, come with it, in here, we make Easter. And that says Easter. Now, if we change round the R and the E, thank you, then it says Eastry. And Eastry was an old Saxon festival for springtime. And when people heard about Jesus and became Christians, they wanted to celebrate Jesus' life, and they were looking for a day when they could celebrate it. And so they decided to use the old Easter celebration, which was for springtime, and they turned it into Easter. And there we get Easter. Now I'm going to move the S right to the end, and if you all move along, and what word have I got now? Eaters. Because at Easter, we all become eaters. Because what do we eat? Chocolate. What do you put? What kind of chocolate is it? What is it made into?
Chocolate eggs.
Chocolate eggs, and anything else?
Bunnies.
Chocolate bunnies. So did you get an Easter egg this morning?
Yeah.
You got Easter eggs. What's your favourite?
Thomas. And Caroline?
Cream.
Bredo.
Cream eggs.
I'm not sure.
All of them. I'm like that.
Just the chocolate ones. I like any kind of Easter egg. There hasn't an Easter egg been born that I don't like. You also get these things. What are they?
Hot
cross buns. So yeah, that you've eaten that as well. Right, we'll have some different people up now. So Ewan, could you take the tea? And Millie can sit down. And Rory, could you take the R? With this, oh, I'll show you the R. I should maybe say, you take the R. Right, and stand there. And that's it. Jude, could you come and take the E? Right. And Lewis, could you come and take the other E? Right. And could you come and take the S? Oh, over the side. I don't know, make it work. The S. Right. And can we all move along a wee bit? Right. Okay. And if you come over to here, Caroline. Okay. And if you hold it up, what does it say now?
Trees.
Trees. And Caroline's got a picture of the tree. So at Easter time, what happens to trees? What happens to trees at Easter time? The leaves fall off.
I get confused with spring and autumn.
Right, well. Autumn, the leaves fall off. And in spring, the leaves come back. They grow. Spring is the time for new life, new leaves. And, oh, can I say we had a huge discussion down in the hall and it ended up as almost a disaster because there were loads of other new things. Animals have happened. What kind of new animals have we got?
Lambs.
And what kind of new animals have you got? Easter guinea pigs. And what kind of new animals have you got?
Bunnies.
And we've even got a bunny here. Easter time is also the time for new life, for new leaves on the trees, for new animals, for new life. Now we're going to change it one more time, and we're going to put the S over here, right, move along a wee bit, and then we're going to put, move along a wee bit, good lad, then we're going to put the T, then we're going to put the A. Then we're going to put the R. And you've come to the very end. That's right. And you turn yours round like that and hold it up high. Because now it says stare. Look, and there's the eyes staring at you. Stare. Because at Easter time, a lot of staring goes on. Because Easter is the time when people start to wear brighter clothes. It's the end of winter, and we can get away all our dark clothes, and we can start and wear light clothes. And people then like to stare and look at all the fashion and see what they like. People like to stare. But the most important word today is Easter. So can we quickly get back to Easter? Here's an E, over to the end, then an A. That's right, S, T, E. That's it, good Jude. And that's the most important word. It's Easter. Did you hear the first thing that Robert said at the beginning of the service? Robert said, Christ is risen. And we all said, he is risen indeed. And that's what Easter is all about. It's all about Jesus being alive. You're a good boy, Jude. And hot cross buns, they've got the shape of a cross. And that's exactly right. That's where Jesus was killed, on a cross. And then he was buried in a big tomb. And in the tomb, front of the tomb, was placed a huge, huge rock. And on Easter morning, some of Jesus' friends...
And that's why they were boiled eggs.
That's exactly right. When they came, they discovered that the stone had been rolled away. And they stared. Didn't stare at the fashion. They stared at the stone had been rolled away. And they stared inside the tomb and they couldn't see anyone. And then they saw an angel who said that Jesus was alive. Jesus had started a new life and he was alive. And that was wonderful. His new life, he was alive. Now we're going to sing in a wee minute, Lord of the Dance. And we're going to try and play our musical instruments at the chorus. So everybody needs to sing really loud. So if we go off the beat, you stay on it. We're going to sing Lord of the Dance. And Lord of the Dance is a song that tells us all about Jesus' life. When he was born, the things that he did, the people that he didn't like. That's a good one, you hold up so everybody can see it. That he didn't like. And also at the end it tells us that they killed Jesus, but Jesus said, they cut me down, but I leapt up high, because I am the life that will never, never die. He'll live in us if we live in him. He is the Lord of the Dance. So we'll sit down, and Ewan and Aaron will lead us in prayer before we do our song. Thank you, boys, and Jennifer, and the other girls and boys. Thank you. Right, over you come. That's it. Well done. Well done. Okay, now I'll move this down. Okay.
We thank you for the joy of Easter, the enjoyment of Easter eggs, the thrill of seeing new life, the pleasure of wearing bright clothes. Above all, we thank you that we are able to celebrate that Jesus is alive and that we are able to continually pray as he taught us to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We'll now sing Lord of the Dance. Thank you, Audrey.
Well, thank you very much, Jigsaw. That was very well done. And I think if Countdown's ever looking for some new entrants, they should just choose some of Jigsaw. So thank you very much. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, today we stand in the remembrance of incredible events. Even the angels were dumbstruck in amazement. Jesus Christ, the one who was in his life, was killed on a cross and laid in a tomb. How could the Son of God, the Son of life itself, die? It was for us. Wasn't it, Lord Jesus? It was an image of us that kept you there on the cross. It was the love of us that made you willing to die. It was our sins you were dealing with as you breathed your last. What words can we offer in response? No one has ever given so much for us. Lord Jesus, our words of praise seem so inadequate, but that's all we have to offer, our adoration, the worship of our lips and hearts. Lord Jesus, our Saviour, we praise you. Father God, even though we have been touched by the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of the cross, even though we have been reached by the good news of Jesus, even though we have experienced your love, there is still so much in our lives which rejects you, our unwillingness to trust your will in all things, our uncertainty about recognizing the gifts you have given us, and our unwillingness to use our gifts in your work, our inability to live our faith even in the most simple of circumstances, when friends need a loving word, when a neighbour needs compassion. Lord, there are still so many barriers we construct between ourselves and you in order to keep you at arm's length, to keep you out of our lives. Today, as we gather in the shadow of the cross, and as we remember and reflect on the death of Jesus, we implore you to break all that blocks you out of our lives. We implore you to forgive our sins, to make us clean of them. And we implore you through the power of the risen Christ to grant us a fresh start and a new relationship with you and with each other. Lord God, we want to know more of you in our lives. We want to experience your Spirit leading us to growth in our faith. And as we gather at this Easter celebration, we long to fill our worship with your presence this morning through singing and prayer, through your word, and through our fellowship together. Flood our lives with your glory and with your love. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll ask Rina to come forward and read our lessons for this morning.
The first reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the wilderness. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, Virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria, and the farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out to the hills of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
Thank you, Rina. Our hymn before the sermon is 425, The Saviour Died But Rose Again. Hymn 425. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be an acceptable offering in your sight, O Lord. Amen. It's a story about two women. We don't know much about them, except they were both called Mary. And they were witnesses to the most important event in human history, which makes them among the most important people who have ever lived. Jesus was killed on Good Friday. On the Sunday, very early in the morning, two women, the two Marys, came to the garden where Jesus had been buried, and they met him. They met Jesus. Jesus who had been dead, but was dead no more. That, in a nutshell, is the story of the first Easter day. God raised Jesus from death to life. In Matthew's account of the first Easter, the women were not only the first to discover the empty tomb, but they were also the first to meet the risen Christ. It's often seemed strange to me that given the way women have often been marginalised in the church over the centuries, that the first people who were shown what was to be the greatest event in history were women. These Marys, and it's difficult to the accounts of the different Gospels, had been present at the cross when Jesus was crucified, when all the disciples had run away. Both of them heard these words from the angel and from Jesus. Both of them heard the words, "Do not be afraid." This assurance is not merely to do with earthquakes and stones being rolled back. It's the message of the Gospels. Do not be afraid. The story of Easter is so well known that sometimes the little details slide by. But the details are important. They mean something. Otherwise, Matthew wouldn't have recorded them. And there's a few details that I'd like to focus on this morning, some of which are unique to Matthew's record of the first Easter. And then I'd like to look at the words that Jesus said to the two women. First, the stone was rolled away. Have you ever wondered why? After all, it's clear from the various accounts of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances that doors and other physical obstacles were no barrier to him. He often just appeared in the middle of the disciples, even when they were behind closed doors and locked rooms. A closed door never kept Jesus out, and it never locked him in either. No. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away to let the two Marys in, to let us in. It's evident from this morning's Gospel reading. For it was after the two Marys had arrived at the tomb that there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Down through the centuries, humanity has wanted to know what happens after death. It's a question that has haunted men and women from the dawn of time. But the grave has always been sealed with secrecy. The tomb has always locked us out. It has always stood as the dead end of all our efforts to look beyond this life to the life to come. But that first Easter morning, the angel tells the two women to look inside the tomb, saying to them, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." Easter rolls the stone door of the tomb away for us so that we can solve the puzzle of death. It turns the grave from a pit to a passage into the heart of the eternal, and shows us that the Holy Heart of God is love and life. God rolls the door of the tomb away, not to let Jesus out, but to let us in, so that we can see that Christ's promises are true. Second, the tomb isn't totally empty. Jesus' body isn't there, but the place is filled with the voice of an angel speaking the words that I've just read. The voice that says, "Look, he is not here. He has risen." The voice that continues, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him." If the two Marys had been confronted with an empty tomb, with a silent tomb, then our resurrection faith, our belief, would be based on human speculation. It would be an assumption, an argument based on the available evidence, or to be more precise, based on the absence of evidence, for the body was not there. But our faith is not based on human guesswork. No. Our faith is based on words from God spoken by the angel. It is based on God's holy promise made by Christ before he died and after the resurrection, on God's holy assurance given by the angel that first Easter Sunday. The words that the angel spoke in that empty tomb would have echoed and re-echoed off its stone walls. And these words have echoed and re-echoed down through the centuries to us. And they still fill the emptiness of the world today. He is risen. The tomb in Jerusalem was transformed into a trumpet, announcing the victory of life over death, reminding us that Christ's promise, Christ's presence is still with us, and his mission in this world that began in Galilee all those years ago goes on and will go on to the ends of the earth and to the end of time. The third detail is this. Because of Easter, we, all of us, can turn our backs in the grave. Matthew tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, when the angel told them he is risen, that they turned their backs in the grave and ran with great joy to tell the disciples. They turned their back on the grave. But joy is the most important word here. Christ was buried, but he didn't stay dead. The grave couldn't keep him in its grip, and because of him, the tomb cannot hold us either. This is what Jesus promised before he died, a promise that at the time must have seemed totally crazy, at best the words of a dreamer, but which, because of that first Easter morning, we know to be a matter of fact, a matter of truth. The stone was rolled away from the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to let us in, to show us that death is not the end, but rather a new beginning, a beginning which proclaims the victory of life over death, which allows us to turn our backs on the grave and to face our future with faith and hope, confident that all of God's promises are true and can be relied on. Next, I'd like to look at the words that Jesus said to the two Marys, the first words that he spoke after his resurrection, after he had been raised from death to life. Words that, according to Matthew, he spoke to these two women. And that's what makes them so important. For the two Marys were the first people anywhere to know that Jesus was alive. And this is what he said. "Greetings. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. The very first words of Easter. The very first words of the new beginning. The risen Jesus said five things. Greetings. He knew the two Marys and was glad to see them. Originally the word greeting meant rejoice. But here it literally means hello or good morning. Such an ordinary thing to say in such an extraordinary circumstance. So much so that it's quite difficult to make it sound right in the Easter story. But both of these Marys had followed Jesus. They were friends. Each of them had been there when he died. The disciples had run away. But these two women had been faithful. Greetings, Jesus said. Such an ordinary thing to say in such an extraordinary circumstance. Then he says, do not be afraid. The same thing that the angel had said to them. They'd come into the garden early that morning, full of fear and great joy, according to Matthew. They must have sensed that something huge was happening, but they didn't know what. That something huge was going on, and that they were part of it. And they felt fear and joy. It's a strange mixture. And as the two Marys are becoming aware that they are about to experience the most important moment in their lives, fear and great joy gets it exactly right. Go and tell is the third thing that Jesus says. The two Marys have seen that Jesus is not dead anymore. They have met him for themselves. And now they have to go and tell the others. And they're actually on the way to tell the disciples that the tomb is empty. To tell the disciples what they've seen at the tomb under their meeting with the angel. They're on the way to tell others about that when they meet the risen Christ. It's a picture for the whole church. We meet the risen Christ when we are on our way to tell others about him. Jesus said to them, go and tell. We can tell. We can be told. We can hear the good news of Jesus. And we are to tell others the good news that Christ is risen. Then he says to the two Marys, go and tell my brothers. It's important to note that he calls the disciples my brothers. For when Jesus had been crucified, not one of them had stayed with him. Not Peter, not Andrew, not James, not John. Each and every one of them had ran away. Each and every one of them was in hiding. And now he comes back from death. And he calls them brothers. The women are to let the disciples know that this is what Jesus thinks of them. That no matter their failures, they are still his brothers. Accepted and loved, and that they are to carry the resurrection message into the world and to be agents of reconciliation. And it's the same today for all of us, as a church, as the followers of Jesus. We are living out these words of Jesus when he calls all of us who have failed him my sisters and my brothers. And the last thing Jesus said to the two women in the Easter garden is they will see me. A promise for the disciples and a promise for all of us. Obviously, we don't see Jesus with our physical eyes, but we do see him with the eyes of faith. We see him. We feel him in the same way that you see love. You don't see it with your eyes, but you know it's there. We know it's there. And we will know, as the two Marys knew, that the one who was crucified has been raised to life. Matthew's gospel ends with the resurrection. And our Christian faith begins in the same place, with the resurrection of our Lord. An ending and a beginning. The resurrection is beyond our imagination. It exceeds our rational mind. But we don't have to explain the resurrection, for the resurrection explains us. The resurrection is what makes us who we are. And it's why we are here today. Because Easter happened. Because the resurrection happened. The church happened. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word, now and forevermore. We continue our worship for the great Easter hymn of triumph, 459. Crown him with many crowns. Hymn 459. Let us again come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, that first Easter morning, the news spread quickly. Jesus is alive. He is risen. At first the disciples doubted, but their doubts turned to joy and then to praise as they met the risen Saviour. So Lord, as we are here this morning, and we also hear that marvellous declaration, Christ is risen, he is alive, and we give you thanks. You hold out to us an eternal hope. If you can do this, then you can do anything. If you're true to this promise, then all your other promises must also be true. Thank you for the hope we have in our lives, a hope we can hardly put into words. Jesus is alive, he is risen, and we are saved. Thank you, God. Lord God, as we worship here this morning, our thoughts are tempered by our own concerns, our own fears, and our own worries, by all the baggage of life we carry with us. Here is now, as in the silence we open our hearts to you, and lay all that baggage at your feet. On this day of resurrection, we remember those who grieve. We feel the hurt deep inside of missing loved ones. You know that feeling well, Father, as you saw your son die on a cross, how all of heaven must have wept today. We remember those who are weeping, especially the families of those killed or injured in the war in Ukraine. Lord, be near, and let the resurrection glory shine in the lives of all who grieve. We commit to you all those who experience hard times and difficulties in their lives. We ask you to care for those who are ill, to be with those who struggle with the events of their lives, to care for those who are stressed out in work and in their relationships, and to be near to those who live in the margins of society with hardly enough of the essentials of life to get by. May the message of Easter, loving Father, shine into their lives. May they discover that in relationship with Jesus, there is hope. Lord God Almighty, we pray for our church. At times we seem so dead and our place in this society so desperate, our church so empty of passion. Lord, bring your resurrection to our church. Let us experience your Son alive and active in this community of faith. Lead us by your Spirit out into this parish in faith, by your power, and if it is your will, let people find faith in you, and let our church grow. Father God, we offer all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We bring our worship this morning to a close with the great Easter hymn, 419, Thine Be the Glory. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day, henceforth, and evermore.